This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
From the land-grant university in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report. It is the 23rd day of June 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. We'll catch up on the weather forecast with the guys up at Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago, Illinois. Hear all about the agricultural cash grain market with the folks out at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. And along the way, Daryl Good will be here to discuss next week's grain stocks report as it relates to soybeans, and it all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org and follow us on Twitter at Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Checking now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago from the CME Group on this Monday afternoon. July futures into soft red winter wheat at 5.79¾. We're down 5.5 cents. July hard red down 6¾ at $7.14. July corn today at $4.44½, 8¾ lower. September at $4.39, down 9¼. And December corn futures at $4.42½, 9½ cents lower. The March contract at $4.52¾, down 9½. And July of next year at $4.66¾, down 8¾. July soybeans, $14.24¾, up 9 cents for the day. August at $13.65½, up 4. And September at $13.67½, up 4 cents. November beans, $12.33¾, up 2¼, and the January of next year at $12.40½, 2¼ cents higher. March contract at $12.46, up a penny and 3/4. July bean meal at $4.55.80, down 3.40. July bean oil at $40.68.55 higher for the day. Live cattle futures finished the nearby June at $148.15. That's 60 cents higher for 100 pounds. The August at $146.92½, up 60 as well. August feeder cattle at $207.90, $1.02½ higher. September futures at $209.30. That's up $1.12½ for the day. July lean hogs on the afternoon at $128.30, 47½ higher, and the August futures finished 17½ lower. They traded at the end of the day to settle at $128.97½. Again, that's the August lean hog futures. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It does come to you from the University of Illinois campus in Urbana-Champaign. Find us at willag.org.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Let's take a look at the outside markets as they currently are trading. Crude oil futures at $106 and a nickel a barrel are down 78 cents. The RBOB gasoline wholesale price at $3.10 and 4 tenths, down 2 and 3 tenths of a cent. And ethanol futures at $2.07 even. That's a penny and 2 tenths of a cent lower. The RBOB to ethanol spread now $1.03¾ wide. That's a penny and a tenth narrower than it was yesterday, or rather on Friday afternoon. And natural gas for the day at $4.45½, 7 6/10 of a cent lower. Diesel fuel at $3.03 a barrel, down 2 cents. And gold futures on the day at $1,318, $1.80 higher. Gold and the U.S. dollar trading at 80.26 is down 0.1 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. We should be seeing a 60% chance of rainfall, thunderstorms likely, 88 degrees for the high today. Tonight, a 60% chance of thunderstorms and 69 degrees. And then tomorrow on Tuesday, a 20% chance of showers, partly sunny otherwise, a high of 83. Winds will be calm tomorrow, Tuesday night, partly cloudy and a low of 66. Wednesday, sunny skies and 83 degrees, a northwest wind at 5 to 8 miles an hour. And Wednesday night, mostly clear, or rather mostly cloudy, with a low of 65. Degrees Thursday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny, with a high of 82 degrees. And Thursday night, showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, and 67. More on the weather at the bottom of this half hour.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report. Let's check now the futures markets and some analysis today with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. How are you?
Doing good. Thank you, Todd.
Well, as we look forward to next week's USDA reports, we have to think about the acreage numbers. We have to think about the grain stocks and which of the two of those might be more important and what surprises could be showing up. Anything that you find of interest in the two reports and might change dramatically between the last numbers that we got in March and this set of numbers?
Well, on the acreage bean estimates, maybe a half million more. Last time we were 81.5. I think we'll probably maybe be 82. Corn numbers about unchanged around this 91.7 level. As I mentioned this morning here, I think, you know, once this acreage number's out, the focus is probably going to be on harvested acres, and we'll get a handle of that as we move more into the marketing or growing season, that is. The one that your number crunchers will really put the pencil to kind of give us an idea on usage and fine-tune that ending stocks estimate will be the quarterly grain stocks report, of course. Corn's expected to be right around this 377 area. Not a whole lot of concern as far as a surprise there. The main thing would be in the bean sector. Ideas are the bean stocks estimate could be around this 385 area. And when you judge the usage we've seen here this winter and what inventory might be left, suggests that usage still needs to slow down, or these imports need to be coming in at a more rapid pace. So the bean stocks number will probably be the one that most people will talk about next Monday.
So producers, and there will be some that have some old crop soybeans left around, sniggled away someplace. Do you think they ought to hold on and see what happens next week, or shall they take advantage sometime this week?
Oh, at this point, might as well just hang on and see what happens. If you held on this long, might as well.
What's another week in time value, huh?
Or another dollar. I mean, it's a roller coaster. There's only 150 up for delivery next week, so I don't think there's going to be huge deliveries or any reason to fall out of bed for say. Ideas that the old bean price could hang in here until we do have these exports come in, or these prices should hang in there and see how these commercials come or end users come forward to gather some beans for meal, and particularly soybean oil. But definitely as a producer, you got to use strength and get stuff priced, because these are attractive prices when you push the pencil on, especially on an old crop.
I want to turn your attention to new crop. When we talk to folks in the western Corn Belt or look up information as it relates to rainfall there, Iowa and Minnesota in some deep difficulty, maybe deep waters too, as it pertains to the amount of rainfall, 8 to 11 inches, I think, in the last week or so. A lot of water there.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of water going down the river. It can maybe logistics-wise mess things up for a while, but you know, if it's your farm, it's a low area, it looks bad, but as a whole, it's helping put moisture in areas that need it, and we'll see if this moisture continues as we move down the road and through here. Ideas, this afternoon's crop conditions report can maybe show a slight deterioration. What might be pointed out more than anything for the bull, the bear to argue, will be the areas. They'll break it down into certain regions and so forth to see what damage has occurred, and also see what improvement has occurred. But the bean market, particularly these new crop November beans, one thing the analysts are pointing out is technically in through here we're starting to carve out maybe a possible head and shoulders top. So if we don't see a whole lot of deterioration in through here, eventually this bean market will try to roll over. It's just exactly when.
What kind of Places do you see in the charts where this market might go for beans, upside or downside, either one?
Well, on the upside and through here, it's fairly popular. This 1245, 1250 area is going to be an area of resistance. If we can go through that, we can maybe move on up to this 1275 area. It's kind of bull spread led, so as long as the July stays strong, we should try to pull the Novembers with it through here. The key supports at $12. $12 gives way. Then we could move on lower. As a producer, wanting to protect inventory, $12 would be a fairly popular number to try to defend here, Todd.
You have some chart points for corn as well?
Well, it did till today. We had an outside down day.
Yeah, that was an interesting day, wasn't it?
Looked real strong early. Then we saw the trade come in and buy beans, sell corn, and buy everything else and sell corn again. Today's high is going to be some resistance here at 457. As I mentioned on commodity week here, we kind of had visions maybe going up to this 466 area. We'll see how things develop, but today's technical action suggests we should go down and test this 435. If 435 gives way, we could, seep on lower. But I would think we'd develop a trading range in here. The key would be to see what type of demand develops here on this break in through here. The end user is still not covered. They're not going to be in a big hurry to get some coverage on. But it'd be interesting to see what type of buyers would come forward here on this price break.
It was, as you mentioned, an outside down day. It was a 15-cent trading range for the day, which was in past recent history, not that big a deal, but 15 cents is a pretty good-sized range. What was it that took place in the trade that pushed the market higher first, and then how did it roll over and go down?
Well, there's some optimism that the market's ability to get above 4.5 generated some buy programs to come in and kind of technically fueled on itself and through there. Also, option expiration generated some follow-through buy in there last night. Then, too, when you look at the extended 11 to 15-day forecast, it's starting to try to build a ridge and try to be warm and dry. That probably will happen because I have tickets to St. Louis on July 7th. So, they'll trade that extended forecast. But as the day went on and through here, we just didn't see the buying hold together. Concerns about the West Coast, maybe some labor disputes on contracts or on some of these shipping terminals could limit some exports off the West Coast. And it's kind of just one thing after another, particularly when we started resumption of trade at 8:30 and even at 9:30, we saw the lack of buying staying there and quite a bit of sell pressure come in.
Hey, Wade, if you've got tickets to the Cardinals on the 7th day of July, you won't be with us that day, or is that an evening game?
I'll put our best man Pete on.
There you go. Hey, thanks so much for being with us.
All right, take care.
That
Thank
is
you
Kurt
much.
Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on this Monday afternoon to take a look at the commodity markets and what's been happening there with the trade in Chicago at the CME Group. Our thanks, of course, to Kurt Kimmel again. He's at Bates Commodities. If you'd like to hear him one more time, you can do that on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Or you can dial this number by about 3:15 this afternoon. He'll be posted in just plain old voicemail at 217-333-3434. One other place that you can stay up to speed on what we're up to, you can follow us on Twitter. My handle is at Commodity Week. David Dickey's handle is at David A. Dickey. A couple of quick news stories for the day. Kansas Senator Pat Roberts and 29 other Republican senators have introduced legislation to prevent the Environmental Protection Agency from implementing its proposed Waters of the U.S. rule. The senators claim the rule would allow the agency to take over all private and state waters in the United States by expanding its jurisdiction under the Clean Water Act. Robert says he wants to make sure the expansion of regulatory jurisdiction over waters of the U.S. is shelved for good. And he believes this legislation prohibits the EPA Administrator and Army Corps of Engineers Secretary from finalizing the rule or trying a similar regulation in the future. Let's move now from the asset or real estate side of agriculture to the retail side of agriculture. Data from USDA's Agriculture Marketing Service, or AMS, and the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics indicate the per pound retail pork value was $3.95 in May. That was nearly 13% higher than in May of 2013. USDA predicts the second quarter value will be in the mid $3.90 range, with the second half of 2014 retail pork values likely to break through the $4 per pound level. And finally today, the United States Department of Agriculture has announced an additional $8 million in Conservation Reserve Program incentives for farmers and ranchers who establish new habitats for declining honeybee populations in Michigan, Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Wisconsin. The reason for the assistance is these states is because more than half of the commercially managed honeybees during the summer are in these states. This new CRP pollinator initiative is designed to further enhance current CRP land to help provide better access to nutritious pollinator forage. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Up next, we'll look forward to the grain stocks report due out June the 30th. The acreage numbers will be important for soybeans, but the grain stocks numbers may be just as important. Well, the acreage estimate may be more important than the stocks estimate for soybeans. There is more to say about that stocks estimate number, says University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good. It is likely to be really small.
Since the magnitude of both the domestic crush and exports during the previous quarter are mostly known, the stocks estimate is expected to reveal the smallest June 1 inventory in 37 years.
However, there is always room for some surprise in any USDA report. For instance, to this point, prior to the release of the 11 a.m. Central Time June 30 grain stocks numbers, USDA is expecting some 90 million bushels of soybeans to be imported into the United States. If imports are to reach that 90 million level, imports during the last 4 months of the marketing year need to average about 14.8 million bushels per month. If May imports were at that level, March to May imports would have totaled 25.5 million bushels. The numbers on the books at the moment, says Good, just don't quite add up.
Unless June 1 stocks are 25 to 30 million bushels larger than expected, the domestic soybean crush during the final 3 months of the marketing year will have to be much smaller than during the same 3 months last year, and or imports will have to exceed the projected level in order to maintain year-ending stocks at a pipeline level.
Stocks below the expected level would obviously, writes Darrell Good in his June 23 weekly outlook found on the FarmDoc Daily website, require a larger drop in the domestic crush or an increase in soybean imports. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. Let's check now the cash grain market. On the phone line with us is Mr. Johnson out at the Andersons in the facility here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Greg. How are you?
Good afternoon, Todd. I'm doing well.
Well, we've had rainfall. We've had some sunshine. It's not looking too terribly bad around our part of the world.
No, it's not. There are some pockets, I guess up around Kankakee, they receive some hail and heavy winds, but, you know, that's a small percentage. It's not small if you're in that area, but, you know, from a market point of view, it wasn't enough to impact the market. And, you know, I think the traders looked at, you know, the plentiful rainfall and said, you know, rain makes grain. And unfortunately, if you're in one of those areas, you don't feel that way. But for the general population, most of the corn benefited from the rain rather than got hurt from the rain.
And more importantly today is rain making sweet corn.
Yes, it is. The sweet corn is in full tassel, so we have that to look forward to.
All right. Well, and it won't be very long, I don't think, before we have corn across the state that is in tassel. In fact, I've heard about fields that are already in tassel.
Yeah, we thought it might not be until July 8th. You know, a lot of corn would pollinate in that July 8th to 15th time frame, but this heat, I think, has sped things up and plenty of moisture, so we may see pollination take place a little sooner than what we thought.
And we'll have to be visiting a couple of websites. The Illinois State Water Survey usually keeps track of days, and we can figure out. There's a calculator there, in fact. You can keep track of where we are on growing degree days, and we're ahead a little bit, so it shouldn't be too bad. What does it tell you about the marketplace and the cash grain market, what farmers are thinking at this point when you put it all together in your mind?
Well, from a cash grain point of view, farmers have gone into hibernation mode, not willing to sell corn at these levels. And with new crop corn, you know, protected by the crop insurance, there's probably some justification for that. You know, if corn continues to go lower in price, they will benefit at some point in time with the crop insurance average. So I guess I'm not in a real big hurry to sell new crop corn. Old crop corn, however, there's just no protection left for it, so we got to be a little bit quicker on the trigger on that. And soybeans are still, you know, at a very profitable level, over $12. And I think the one thing that the big sell-off in wheat and corn has shown us is that this can happen to the bean market, too. It hasn't happened yet, but I think we want to take advantage of these good prices in new crop beans while they're still giving us an opportunity.
Now, on the old crop corn, one quick question. Is there a tipping point at which that market will drop again fairly dramatically as maybe things come into the elevators sometime, I don't know, in late July or August or somewhere?
We could see that. There's the difference between this year and past years is we don't see the big inverse between old crop and new crop corn, so we don't have to see that old crop corn drop very much. I think old crop corn is a couple cents higher than new crop corn on the board. So at some point in time, that may go to a carry. So we may see a little bit of loss in the old crop corn, but probably not a big drop.
And what do your bids look like for the day?
Cash corn is 441 for the old crop, 417 for new crop. Old crop beans are 1430. New beans are 1214. And new crop wheat is 570.
You have a great afternoon.
Thanks. You too, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He is with the Andersons, joins us here on this Monday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. To take a look at the cash grain market, somebody does each and every day, and you can always hear them again on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. In a couple minutes, we'll talk with the folks at Earth Risk Technologies. They're in Chicago, Illinois, about the ever-important weather forecast for the Corn Belt. That coming up in just 2 minutes right here from Illinois Public Media.
Support for this market report comes from Country Financial, providing generations of Central Illinois farmers with crop hail insurance programs for individual producers, immediate family member, or tenant-landlord relationships. More information is available from your local Country Financial representative or at country-crop.com.
It's National Pecan Sandy Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1857, William Kelly is issued a U.S. patent for manufacturing of iron and steel. He invented the air blast method of forming steel from iron. His initial goal was to reduce the amount of fuel required for iron and steel making because of the immense amount of timber required to make the charcoal. But Kelly saw little financial gain from his idea. He went bankrupt in 1857 and was forced to sell his patent. In 1868, Christopher Nathan Scholes of Wisconsin patented a mechanical writing machine called a typewriter. It was as large as a desk made of black walnut and had black and white keys. He signed a deal with the Remington Arms Company for its manufacture in 1873. It was Remington who turned it into a more practical machine. In 1937, Nicholas Shackleton was born, an English geologist. He helped identify carbon dioxide as a greenhouse gas by demonstrating that the fall of the ice ages was linked to decreases in atmospheric carbon dioxide. He also warned that excessive emissions of carbon dioxide could lead to global warming. By the way, during his lifetime, he amassed the world's largest collection of clarinets. And in 1982, a record low temperature of minus 117 degrees Fahrenheit was recorded at the South Pole. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us, Mark Russo at Earth Risk Technology. He's in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark. How are you doing?
Hey, good afternoon, Todd. Doing fine.
What's the weather forecast for our part of the world in the next week or so?
Well, this active zone that the Midwest, especially central and northern Midwest, has been in over the past week, that is going to be shifting southward as we go through the next week's time frame. So for some of those wetter areas here of late, we are going to see at least some easing of that. And while the drier areas in the south start to turn wetter. And so that is the precipitation forecast specifically. And from a temperature standpoint, actually a slight cooler than normal temperature bias over the next few days, but then that'll give way to readings climbing up to warmer than normal levels, but nothing extreme. But we will be seeing more widespread areas in the mid-80s to mid-90s for next week.
We keep hearing the word building of a ridge. Does that portend good or bad news for a growing crop?
Well, with the ridge of high pressure that we're seeing here, it is going to be an oscillatory feature. So it will be moving around here across much of the country. It's not going to be an overly intense feature, at least over the next couple of weeks. But with this ridge building and movement, at least when it's over the middle of the country here, particularly the Midwest, that will be our hottest days. And at this time, it looks like our 6 to 10 day window, meaning coming up for the weekend and the first half of next week, from now through the end of next week, that looks to be the hottest time frame. But soil moisture conditions are in good shape, so it's not of any initial concern. And the item to watch is any ridging returning later on when in July, when more of the crop will begin pollinating.
I suppose because you said it'll be moving around, this thing shifts, and that means the rainfall runs along the fronts, and that's different than a blocking ridge. Is that right?
Yeah, certainly no stability of the ridge, at least setting up over the next few weeks. And yeah, the fact that it's an oscillatory ridge, when it's moving around and when it moves away, that does introduce some opportunities for rain.
All right. And then any other place around the planet we ought to be looking at today?
Oh, yes, certainly India. The start of the monsoon season has been very poor, with very uneven nature here of rainfall, and so June is to go down as a below normal rainfall month across the subcontinent, and that looks to continue into July too. So that is overall, that looks to be the main problematic area as we move into the early part of July.
And finally, tell me about the corn crop in China.
Yeah, China's corn crop is in good shape. They have they've seen adequate soil moisture in recent weeks and a kind of rainfall. A little bit of dryness in sections of the North China Plain, but that does look to improve coming up. And so as long as those rains verify, that'll keep the China corn and soybean crops in good shape.
Hey, thanks so much, Mark.
You're welcome, Dad.
Mark Russo is with Earth Risk Technologies out of Chicago, Illinois, joins us on this Monday afternoon to wrap up our closing market report. Our thanks to him for being with us for the day. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more numbers from the CME Group in Chicago. You have a great afternoon.